Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Wake up. It's time to go. Zach Amico's got a show. Animals are here to play. Jokes and guests to start your day. Tell the Sandman no more sleep. Eat some eggs and cook some beef. Laugh is waiting. Don't be shy. Stretch your legs and touch the sky. Grab a coffee and join the crew. It's Zach Amico.
Wake up, wake up. It's a Wednesday, and it's your other boy, the international superstar, Zach Amico, welcoming all my zoo files to another edition of Zach Amico's Morning Zoo. We're just getting started. Sorry we're a little late today. We're joined by one of our guests, and one of our guests is arriving very soon, I hope, across the table from me, one of my favorite people to podcast with. From World War Fun, it is our good buddy, Sidney Gant.
Let's go.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm happy to be the first black guest here today.
You know,
I've been on a streak.
You're a stereotype destroyer.
Yeah.
You're here. Your beautiful family made a stop in real quick.
Yeah.
Very, very nice to see everybody, and thank you for joining us, and thank you, as always, for your time, buddy.
Yeah, they embarrassed me a little bit.
Why?
I brought my kids in to...
They're shy. Them. It's a lot.
They are not shy. They're all menaces. But when they are in an environment where other people are also menaces...
Yes.
They like, I don't know if I'm a good enough man. Like, they shy away.
I can tell they were a little shy to say hello to everybody.
Yeah.
But it's a different, you know, it's a different feel.
Yeah, they came in here and they were like, they just felt it in the air that they could say retarded and faggot.
Yeah.
And they were like, what do I say first?
Well, that's your twins giving names.
Yeah.
So I understand, because when you come in here, you're like, it's an office.
Uh-huh.
It's a professional setting, but it's also like kind of loosey-goosey.
It is.
There's TV on. There's music playing. Yeah. But I think they didn't know how to read the sitch.
Yeah. It's really funny to watch kids when they walk into a room and they know they can't get in trouble.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's like coming to an adult playhouse.
Yes.
So they're like, we can tell this is a fun place,
uh-huh.
But this is not a fun for kids place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, when do I take my dick out? Like, yeah. I don't want to do it too early, but I also don't want to do it too late. You know
no,
I mean?
You don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
But yeah, your beautiful family, your beautiful wife, thank you for hanging out. Touching tribute to Hulk Hogan posted the menagerie of white trash that showed up at the Hulk Hogan funeral.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like they were trying. It's like everybody had a ring that they all had to put in a lockbox to make sure Trump gets a third term.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was, I mean, it's perfect. This is Theo Von, Triple H, Kid Rock, and Bam Margera.
Mm.
And if that is not the four horsemen of the white trash apocalypse.
That is.
I mean, that's what you get.
Yeah.
But I wanted to show you Bam Margera's post from Hulk Hogan's funeral.
Okay. That was also like generations of white trash kind of touching each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
Bam's tribute from the funeral, hilarious. That was a cloud above Hulk Hogan's funeral.
I mean, he's not wrong. That cloud looks like it was a gift from God.
And I actually think it's kind of sweet.
Dude.
His ex-junkie head.
Yeah.
And the funniest thing to me is, I don't know if you remember this, a few years ago, Hulk Hogan posted a picture with Bam saying, RIP, miss you, because he thought Bam was Ryan Dunn. So I feel like Bam just got in on the Hulk Hogan thing just to be like, I told you I wasn't dead.
Yeah. All right. Who's RIP now, bitch? Yeah.
who's ripping now, Hulkster? But yes, very, very sad, of course, to watch people try and figure out how they feel about Hulk Hogan postmortem.
It's really annoying to watch everybody recontextualize him as a villain.
Yes.
You know, when, I mean, Shane and I talked about this on World War Fun, but it's like, you got to be able to compartmentalize between Hogan and Terry.
Just like the trial.
right?
Just like the Terry, Hulk Hogan has a 10-inch penis.
Yeah.
Terry Bollea does not.
Micro penis.
I don't know. The video I saw was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Some called it the size of a thermos.
Okay, good for him. That's Hulkamania right there.
Yeah, it was running wild.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen the clips before all that sex tape shit got ripped from the internet.
Yeah.
The funniness of it was how unaware he was of him being filmed.
Yes.
Because there's sex tapes where you know we're making a sex tape.
Uh-huh.
Then there's sex tapes where you go, oh, they're making a sex tape with the intention of it being leaked.
Yes.
A.K.A. the Farrah Abraham Teen Mom one, where, A, it's James Dean, who's a professional cocksmith.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Porn star.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just so funny because she's getting fucked in the ass, but there's a digital clock in the background, and it's, like, 2:20 p.m.
Yeah.
It's not a time for ass fucking. If this was a scheduled ass fucking.
Yeah.
And then there's sex tapes where you're like, oh, we're doing this for us, and you feel... Those are the hot ones.
Yes.
Because you're like, I'm not supposed to see this.
Uh-huh.
Then there's this, which is straight up voyeurism. He's so unaware he's being filmed. At one point in the middle of sex, he goes, oh, I ate like a pig before. And he's like rubbing his belly.
Dude, that is confidence that I would never be able to understand. I don't think I've ever said a full word during sex. That's crazy.
I can be a little talkative.
No, I one time, like, I prefer for my wife to be silent.
Yeah.
Because talking during sex is just too silly to me.
Okay.
And one time I was having sex with a girl in high school. We were in a dugout, outside at a baseball field in a dugout.
You were also in high school, just to clarify. Yeah, well,
I mean, you know.
Sure.
I was in high school. She was in middle school.
Sure.
No. We were both in high school, same grade. And, We were having sex.
You're black.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you're the same age.
Yeah.
Ninth grade. Yeah. I was 23.
Yeah, I was 3 years older than her. We were seniors in high school. And she
I cashed out my 401k.
Yeah, my son just started his job. And
we're celebrating.
Yeah. And I wasn't good at I knew I wasn't good at sex. And I was like, at that point, I was like, I'm going to get sex. I am never going to take the time to get good at sex. I just want to come, right?
Okay.
And we had just started having sex. Like, I was probably in there for about 30 seconds, which I knew was halfway through sex.
Yes.
And she said, oh my God, you feel so good. And in my mind, I was like, oh, you have no clue how quickly this is over. And I just started cracking up. I laughed my way out of her vagina.
Oh, yeah. I've done that one before.
Yeah. It was insane.
The first time I ever lost an erection during sex was because I laughed at an episode of Everybody Loves Raymond that was on TV.
You should lose an erection for that.
It's a funny show. I don't know what to tell you.
It is a funny. First of all, it is a funny show and funnier than it got credit for.
Yes.
But also, it shouldn't
be on during sex.
It shouldn't. Exactly.
That was on me.
Yeah, that's on you.
That was on me for not changing the channel prior.
Yeah. That's almost like a challenge. Like, yeah. Can I have sex during Everybody Loves Raymond without laughing my way out of the pussy?
That's no talking whatsoever.
I'm not a fan, man. It's like I don't process it in a mature fashion. It always makes me laugh. Like, it's for me, talking during sex, you get the same response from me as if you farted during sex.
Okay.
It doesn't ruin it, but yeah. We're in a different area now.
By the way, and this is just me pontificating, this doesn't apply to anybody else, but if your chick has never farted during sex, you're not fucking her hard enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. For sure. Or, I mean, or you're just not fucking frequent enough.
Or you just not, dude, I'll tell you, she's going to be so mad I'll tell this.
One time. Dad's wife stopped listening right now.
No, she's not listening, trust me. She's way over this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
One time going down on my wife, and she's like, I'm going to come. And I was like, she's like, oh no, I think I have to fart. She came and farted while I was going down on her. And this is when I had the long chin hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ever, you know, in a movie where they drive through a cornfield and the corn splits down the middle? She blew a hole through the middle of my beard. It literally, I had two. It went,
yeah. She put rubber, put rubber bands.
I looked like I was in System of a Down.
That's crazy.
No, dude, you're not, if you're a chick and you've never farted during sex, I don't think you're coming hard enough.
By the way, your wife might be the only lady on earth that can tie a cherry stem with her farts.
Yeah. I mean, half the reason jerking off is fun is because you could fart the whole time.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Let me say this before I forget. Since we're on the subject, my wife has definitely farted during sex more than she has spoken words during sex.
And I think that's acceptable.
Yeah.
Because you're not putting pressure on her to speak.
I'm putting pressure.
But you're pressure. You're putting pressure on. If there's a fart, if it's in the chamber,
yeah,
you're pressing it out.
Yeah, I'm extrapolating.
Shannon, I know it's been a little while.
It's been a real long while.
And I know you don't fart.
I do not.
But if you did, do you think you would ever fart during sex accidentally?
I mean, I can assume it would be a possibility. It has never happened.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like women that don't fart the most.
I just have a quick update. I just got a text from Dave, and he said that there is a fire on the tracks, and he doesn't think he's going to be able to make it in.
Well, you know what? That happens. And that's not his fault.
Yeah, he was born that way.
That's okay. And we're not mad.
Yeah.
We're not disappointed. That was beyond his control, and I appreciate him trying to make it in, and shit happens. And if this one is just me and my friend Sid, then so be it, right?
Hell yeah. Dude, I don't understand how fucking Dave, Naeem, how they had the confidence to keep being later. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if you are constantly like 5
Dave's
10 minutes
not constantly late.
Yeah.
Derek's later more than Dave, I would say, right, Shannon?
Oh my God. Yeah, I don't think Dave is maybe ever late.
Oh.
I think that's why I'm giving him a lot of leeway. Dave is pretty good about being on time.
Derek and Naeem, different story.
Let me apologize for my racism, Dave. My bad. I definitely profiled Dave.
Dave's not that late. And then, like, here's the thing. Being late in New York, if I know you're taking the subway, I can't get that mad because it really is out of your control at a certain point. You could leave earlier.
Yes.
I think if you drive and you're always late, I can tell you should have left earlier.
Because
you know it's happened enough.
Yeah.
They're not driving the train, man.
That's fair.
I would say, I mean, of everyone, Ian's the blackest person I know.
Oh, boy. Ian.
As far as lateness.
He's a potentially not even show up guy.
Ian, it's not that he's late.
Yeah.
It's that he's late with a coffee, which drives me nuts.
And a story.
A story every time.
Dude, you had time to develop a fucking story?
It's late with a coffee and a story, smokes a cig, goes, can I go to the bathroom? Takes a monster dump.
Sorry, I have IBS.
And then comes out of the... I had to have a talk with Ian. I don't know, Shannon, if you remember this. I had to have a talk with Ian. To please put your pants back on and buckle them before coming out of the bathroom because there's women that work here and you can't walk out in your boxers putting your pants back on.
Or what about just closing the bathroom door? Because I did walk in on him while peeing because the door just wasn't closed.
So this is the crazy thing, right? You would think somebody who is that late all the time is taking their time to buckle their pants up, taking their time to shut the door. But this motherfucker doesn't even have time to zipper his pants before he leaves the bathroom.
And I said, Ian, why do you run back out with your pants down? Is it a bit? He's like, no, I just got to be in the mix. And I'm like, what? He's like, I'm afraid that something funny's going to happen without me.
Yeah, 30 minutes ago. Get here on time. It's crazy.
So then he'll take it and go, can I smoke one more cigarette?
Yeah.
And that's, like, that to me is way worse than the train fucked me.
Yeah, so two things. One, if you show up late, your excuse should not have a three-act structure and a twist. And two, you cannot ask for favors once you get here.
Yes. You can be late or you can need to shit and then ask for a cigarette.
Yeah.
In fact, I would even say you can do one of two. You can either
shit or smoke. You can't do both to me.
Or next time Ian's late, the way he apologized, he has to be like, oh, my bad, nigga.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine with that. If Ian showed up in full blackface and went, I'm a so sorry, Mr. Zax. I done it again.
Blackface Ian fighting.
If I done it again, I's late on my bicycles. Yeah. Stopping and getting me a coffee.
Had to stop and listen to my ska band.
Now, would you be so kind? May I use the facilities?
I'm sorry, he doesn't call it ska, he calls it skas.
Yeah.
Listen to my skas, man.
Well, technically, with the way black people say ask, it should be whatever, however you say XA.
Oh, yeah. How would you
be? Za.
Ska.
I'm just so sorry. I just stopped at my Starbucks. Hold on, I got the combs in my stash.
Had to stop by my favorite glory hole.
Swing low, sweet glory hole. Let another man in my mouth.
Dude, he's going to love this and be pissed at the same time. Blackface Ian.
He's not going to be thrilled about it. Blackface Ian. <Yeah. laughs>
He has too many black friends for him to like not worry about that getting out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, okay. We'll put Blackface Ian in the same shelf as racist Katie Boyle. And those are things I made up. Do not ever search. Don't Google Blackface Ian Finance over and over again, because then it'll get in the algorithm. And when people Google Ian Finance, it'll go blackface.
Yeah.
And he'll be very upset, because I'm sure he's got some type of deal with a thing right now where he's like, can you cut that?
Oh, my God. Please message him about his blackface.
Yeah. Don't Google about his blackface. It'll be very embarrassing for him and for the show. And we don't want to do that. All right. Hey, guys, you ever wake up in the morning and just feel soft, like your coffee is warming your hands, but not doing a damn thing for your balls or your brain? Well, that's why they created Body Brain Coffee. It's not just coffee. It's coffee with purpose, specifically testosterone. Packed with clinically backed ingredients, this isn't your girlfriend's oat milk latte. This is for men who want to get their edge back in the gym, in the boardroom, and yeah, the bedroom too. And it's not just about testosterone. Body Brain is also built to dial in your focus, clarity, and mood, thanks to lion's mane, ashwagandha, and L-theanine. So while your basic brew is giving you the jitters and a crash, Body Brain Coffee is helping you stay sharp, calm, and locked in, all while supporting your natural T levels. If you're serious about your energy, your mindset, and your masculinity, it starts with what you put in your cup. And you can save 15% today with the promo code ZOO15, ZOO15, at bodybraincoffee.com. That's bodybraincoffee.com, promo code ZOO15. Power your day, fuel your drive. Let's get back into the program, Slither. What do we got here? Okay. This might be funny to only me, but I saw a video that made me so happy. And this isn't a news story. This isn't a terribly viral video. It just brought joy to my heart. And the caption on it was, they don't make jars like they used to.
Oh, no.
Nobody gets hurt. It's not hard. I swear. Dude, we watched a full decapitation the other day.
Yeah.
And I really feel like I sprung it on people. This is not violent. You don't need to turn away from the computer. And I'm not doing a bit. This just brought me joy. Shannon, can you please bring up the lady with the jar? Thank you.
Oh, I agree with you. Such a pleasant video.
I could watch this all day. Watch her fall.
She deflated.
It's like three steps back and then she slips.
Yeah.
Boom! Help!
Like she made the same kind of sounds that a video game character makes when it falls down a hole.
It's then the fatter lady jumping.
Yeah.
Because that lady, her first thought was definitely, oh no, the sauce.
Yeah.
And then this lady thought, can we watch it one more time, please?
Now, when you saw that fatter lady going over to.
I thought she was going to go to the sauce.
Okay, I thought she was going to fall on top of it. Yeah, right here. I thought she was going to slip in the sauce and land on top of
one more time.
Should overlap that sound over video game characters dying.
I would. This is just continue 10, yeah. 9, 8. Yes. Granny sauce emulator. Dude, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah.
I could watch. It made me laugh so hard when I watched it.
Yeah.
And then the idea of like, I'm so glad that was on. What was that on film for?
Exactly. Was she just like, is she a person that just makes in jars sauce?
I don't know. I have no idea, but it was perfect. There's no way that was set up.
No. God, no.
Because that's way too dangerous.
Yeah.
That's exploding glass.
It is. But it is also something you might be able to trick an old person to do on purpose.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, like a Nigerian prince from...
Yeah.
She's like some sort of email scam with exploding sauce.
My poor mother, me and my dad would just do shit. Because my mom has like these big reactions to everything. Like, it's never like, hey. It's always like...
Yeah.
It's always huge.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what always made it so funny.
Yes.
So like, the amount of times I would watch my dad... go into my mom's van, get into the driver's seat, and just turn the radio all the way up while the car was off.
Yeah.
So that when my mom started the car, the radio would be so loud she would scream.
Yeah.
And it was not for him, because he wouldn't be there when it happened.
Yeah.
He'd been at work for hours by the time that it happened. It was just knowing the other was... And it's so immature. It was take a rubber band, you know, like the nozzle in the sink that comes out and you can spray dishes?
We have, as a family.
Rubber bands around it.
We've done that to my wife. Yeah.
And put rubber band and then point it so that when they turn the sink on, they get sprayed.
Dude, so we got our kitchen sink remodeled and we didn't have one of those hoses. Got one of those hoses the very next day. Already did it to them. Like, and it was beautiful. So when my wife gets upset or when she gets like flabbergasted about something, she sounds just like Jerry Seinfeld. So we call her Mama Seinfeld. So we like antagonize her all day just so she can be like, why are you guys picking with me?
What did I do to you?
Yeah, I disappointed my dad for you.
Sydney, take care of your three biracial babies. You put these mudbloods inside me.
You have to start treating me right because I don't know if you know this, but I can't go back.
You filled me with half-breeds. You polluted my family's bloodline. That's awesome. I love it.
I have three kids and three fifths of a human. I couldn't even get it out.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Oh, that's an old third. It's a great 30 Rock bit where Liz is crying and she's trying to talk to Seinfeld. And she sounds like Seinfeld when she cries. And
he's
like, are you making fun of me? She's like, no, this is how I cry.
Dude, she would destroy Seinfeld's confidence if she was upset in front of him.
Oh, really?
I
feel like he's an... I can't tell if he's an easy nut to crack. He's definitely easy to annoy.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like he's so rich he could just be like, be gone.
Yeah.
But God, I would love to really fuck with him.
Yeah, he seems like a fun person to really piss. He seems like, because he seems like he would take it personal.
Yeah, and I feel like, I mean, look at all these years later, he still hates Bobcat.
Good for him.
Because, whatchamacallit, Bobcat made fun of him when he was dating the 16-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Or 17, excuse me. Bobcat did a joke about it, like, on TV. And when he did Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with, what's her name, Bridget Everett?
Okay.
He literally said, there's a comic I hate, and it's Bobcat Goldthwait. They bleeped it, but it's been confirmed that's who he was talking about.
Yeah.
And Bridget felt like really weird because she's worked with Bobcat on stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he just goes on a rant about he's never been funny. And, you know, he's the opposite of and, you know, we're the opposite kind of people.
Oh, yeah, and he says, oh, you just get on stage with a silly voice.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
As if his voice is normal.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Why can't you talk normal?
Yeah. Why do you got to go on stage and use a silly voice?
And by the way, I'm an unapologetic huge fan of Bobcat. I think he's a really brilliant writer and director and a great stand-up. So
yeah.
I think I have my own personal opinion on this one.
Dude, Wet Hot American Summer, is that what it was?
No.
What movie was he in, Bobcat?
Oh, he's got World's Greatest Dad.
So like 80,
Shakes the Clown.
His 80s movie.
Police Academy.
No, not Police Academy. They were at like a beach or like a camp for the summer.
Shannon, bring up Bobcat's IMDb.
Yeah. And he's like he's a comic relief character in the movie. Like other non-important people star in the movie. Where do we got?
Is that directing or acting?
He's
Yeah, bring up acting. Come on, actor.
I X'd it out instead of adding it. Hold on, sorry.
You could do it with Shannon.
I'm so confused.
You could do it with Shannon. We believe in you.
There we go.
You could use a website. All right. Start at the bottom and come up.
That's what I'm doing.
I know. Don't you get frustrated with me, lady.
After the whole X'ing out the actors thing, he had to say it out loud.
Don't you get frustrated with me, lady. I give you a lot of leeway. All right. Could you zoom in a little, please?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Lenny Clark, no.
Yeah, so
Masters, no. Police Academy, 2, no. Apartment 2C, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Too far, Shannon.
No, I couldn't keep
up with the speed.
Okay, here we go. Am I at the right part again?
No, no, you're at the right part again.
It did it.
This is like watching my wife try to use the internet.
Okay, here we go.
This is crazy. I feel like she's scrolling
Twist
on the
and
phone
Sister,
like this.
Twist and Sister. No, keep moving up. The Pointer Sisters. Police Academy 3.
What, is it One Crazy Summer?
I would assume it's One Crazy,
it's one
summer.
Crazy summer.
Let's take a look.
6.4 stars.
Yeah, this has got to be what you're thinking of, right?
Yes, this is it. That high. That was
Demi Moore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'll definitely check this out.
Dude, this is a good movie.
Is that John Cusack?
Yes.
Wow.
So John Cusack's the star of the movie. The wrestler guy that wasn't arrested, the guy that was in the bad guy in Revenge of the Nerds, is in this movie.
Oh, the same guy from the arm wrestling movie, right?
Yes, Over the Top.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
So I watched this movie.
Oh, and Joel Murray. Okay, I'll definitely watch this.
Yeah, it's such a good movie. It's funny. It was like, it has that Wet Hot American Summer vibe where it was like a bunch of comedy friends got together.
Okay.
And they improvised, you know, they made this movie good.
Okay.
When other movies back there were like, the suits were making them bad.
Yeah. I will definitely check that out. Thank you. All right. Well, I wanted to have two black guys here for this, but we could do one.
So instead you have a half of a black guy.
Yeah, I have the worst possible representation of black.
Yeah.
But I will say my love of big-ass women almost surpasses your blackness.
Mm.
So this is... can we go on a toy tonight? Yeah, right? For Body Adi?
I think so.
This is a tighter night, toy or night, and this is Autumn Nelson, our Body Adi, 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 Adi.
Toy or night.
All right, let's take a look.
Super duper close to 2 million followers, so I'm going to be doing a dead hang every day until I hit 2 million followers. God. So I'm going to be increasing the time by 5 seconds every day.
This girl's got strong arms.
Yeah, she does. 2 million. Goodness gracious. I think I can speak on behalf of Dave Temple and Blackface Ian Fidance and say toy.
Toy?
Toy.
point?
Yeah.
Let's see some other photos of her. Yeah, that to me, I mean, just let's get a good picture of the front. Let's see what she, yeah. Because she's pretty, too.
Yeah, she is pretty. She's a pretty lady.
Jorge, your thoughts?
I'm trying to figure out what her ethnicity is. Because she doesn't, she look has like a weird
She kind of has an alien face.
Yeah.
Like, I can't figure out what she is either.
What are you trying to decide whether or not to give her a student loan? What does her ethnicity matter? Look at that ass.
If she's full white, I can't do it.
What? Jorge?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Why is that?
What, do you hate success? Are you trying yes. Your family's dreams of you bagging a white woman?
Yeah, you must
and
have
clawing your way out of whatever third world shithole fucking made you?
Yeah, you must have a great credit score already. What's the deal?
Oh no, terrible.
Yeah?
But you gotta keep that you gotta keep it going. You gotta keep it all.
No, go man, you gotta mix and match.
Yeah. No, mix and match it now.
You know what I found out when you said that you wouldn't ever date a white lady? That you don't have hope. Jorge is a hopeless soul.
Yeah, not come on,
dude. Jorge, look at that. It's crazy.
It's just balloons. You can give anyone balloons.
Whoa, I wasn't talking about the balloons, Jorge.
Come on, what kind of?
Like the orange, right there. Up a little bit. Right there, and the orange. That's a great little peak.
Yeah, come on, Jorge. What are you doing here?
What does she need to be for you to smash?
Well, yeah, does she need to be part something?
Yeah, part literally anything.
Are you saying white isn't anything?
White's black.
Well, I don't know.
But there's different kinds of white. What about, like, what if she's, like, Norwegian or something?
Yes. So, Jorge, I don't know if you know this, but recently the studies have shown that Neanderthals are responsible for the autism gene.
Okay.
So, white something.
All
right. I did not know that. Shannon, could you look that up?
Yeah, that's very nice. Dude, I am breaking this information.
Oh, I want to know.
Yeah.
So it's not vaccines?
No.
Could have fooled me.
I think, from what I understand, all Neanderthals were just autists.
And we grew out of it?
You guys didn't.
Well, that's fair. While Neanderthal DNA is linked to autism, it doesn't mean Neanderthals caused the autism gene. Instead, some more Neanderthal inherited genetic variants are more common in people with autism than in the general population, suggesting a role in autism susceptibility. That means Neanderthal DNA can be a factor, but not so close. So basically, the more Neanderthal you got, the more likely you are to be a bit on the TISM scale.
Yeah, if you're on the Neanderthal spectrum.
If you're, yeah. Now, yeah. Neanderthals are N-word here on the show.
Yes.
So, Neanderthal, please. And so, how much more or less Neanderthal? So, would that mean that people that are like more Genghis Khan are less Neanderthal?
Oh, I don't know. Can they also, because my genetics are.
How do you tell when an Asian person's autistic?
When their eyes are round.
I'm sorry. Because sometimes they're just a little weird.
Yeah.
So I would be hard to tell.
It's hard to tell when Asian people are anything. There's just so many of them.
Yeah.
You know, because that anything you see an Asian person doing can just be a thing that an Asian person is and does.
Yes.
You know? Like, when you see Asian people with Down syndrome, you don't know if they're, like, they have Down syndrome or if they were just a wrestler their whole life.
Yeah. Or they're having a bad day.
Yeah.
I feel like the key to hiding...
having a bad day.
Yeah. Modern humans outside Africa generally carry Neanderthal DNA, with East Asians typically having the highest percentage, followed by Europeans. While long thought to have little to none recent studies have also found Neanderthal DNA in African populations, though in smaller amounts.
I found. Okay. Man, I mean, I think we get Neanderthal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely got some Neanderthal in me.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. I always wonder, so like we're at the point where like cousins shouldn't fuck. The kid's gonna come out.
What do they look like?
The kid's gonna come out. I mean, they shouldn't procreate.
Yeah.
Kid's gonna come out not good. how many generations of cousin fucking did we do already for this to be the last time? Like, would we be way better had we known not to fuck relatives hundreds of years ago?
Mm. Like, you think that's what's holding us back from catching up to maybe our alien brethren? Like, the reason why we're so technologically
behind? I think maybe we're all retarded.
Yeah.
And, like, what we look at as retarded a few generations ago would have not been retarded. It would have been way retarded, but we're so far into the... So, like, have you read the thing that, like, certain communities that don't put themselves out there, so, like, deeply religious communities, mm-hmm. that the amount of inbreeding kind of affects that community?
Well, sometimes in a good way. You know, like, the Pennsylvania Dutch, their women don't get fat.
Okay.
Like, they have, like, a genetic mutation because of the inbreeding that keeps all their women toy.
Okay, I didn't know that, but yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
So they've said, like, you know, certain Jewish communities, Arab communities, hyper-Christian communities, the amount of inbreeding, and then when you're inbred, that leads to fanaticism and violence. Mm. That you're more likely to be a fanatic, you're more likely to be deeply religious,
mm-hmm.
and you're more likely to be violent defending your beliefs if you're this kind of inbred, which kind of explains a lot of wars.
Yeah, and the entire professional wrestling fan base.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
I want to look up, Shannon, can you look up this thing about Pennsylvania Dutch women? Because I've never heard of that.
Dude, I am dropping science today.
You really are. I'm very impressed.
Be wearing a lab coat right now.
Dr. Neanderthal over here.
Dr. Neanderthal, please. Thank you very much. I went to medical school. I went to Nickel school.
I went to medicinal school.
Medicinal school was my uncle. It's my uncle's school.
Shannon, does that have any articles behind it?
I'm kind of like sorting through it. It says that they have been studied for their health and genetics due to closed communities.
Mm-hmm.
Genetic predisposition studies have shown that some individuals within the Amish community carry the FTO gene variant, which is associated with an increased likelihood of gaining weight, similar to other people of European descent. In summary, it's not that Pennsylvania Dutch possess unique genes that prevent them from being fat. Instead, their traditional lifestyle, which involves a high level of physical activity, appears to mitigate the effects of obesity-related genes that may share with the broader population.
Yeah, but when they go on Rumspringer, they don't gain, like, the freshman 15. Do you know what I mean? Like, the ladies stay svelte.
I think, but they're also saying... Like, you know, they're up churning butter. They're up doing work all day. They're doing the kind of work that keeps you.
That is, and that tracks for when they stay in their area or go back to their area. But when they go on Rumspringer, they leave for a while.
Yeah.
They don't blow up. This is why this information was there. So remember when that going Amish or breaking Amish
mm-hmm.
was a big thing? That's when people started getting really curious about the culture. It's like, why are these women are going out, leaving their culture, now they're drinking, they're staying up late at night, they're eating carbs, but they're still not gaining weight. Like, what the fuck is their deal? And then did a little research and found out that maybe their inbreeding causes them to not store sugars the same way.
Well, I did not know that. Thank you, Sydney.
Yeah, I'm on this kind of stuff.
My friend...
I have a really hot cousin that I want to bang, and I need to know everything about
there we
first.
Go. My friend worked on... it was either... There was Bring It, and then there was Amish Mafia, right?
Mm-hmm.
My friend worked on that one, I think.
Oh, yeah?
And I can fucking say it. He's dead now, so... that was supposed to be a very different show.
Oh, yeah. Why?
The guy that they were going to follow for that whole show got arrested the week before they started filming.
Interesting.
And got put in jail. So then everything that they were going to shoot with him, they had a fake.
A fake Amish?
The whole show was pre-scripted, basically.
Oh, wow.
Because it was everything that guy was going to do on camera.
Yeah.
They hired other people to do it.
And that's, so it's crazy to think about that, because Breaking Amish definitely did way better than the Amish Mafia show.
Yeah.
And it shows that you really, like, writing can't really compare to just humans living and making it up on the spot.
Yes. When it's that format, I'll agree.
Yeah.
I sometimes get frustrated with the transparency of how scripted reality is.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that one, yeah, that was pretty fun to watch people go batshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always wonder when people are so willing to break the law on camera, on shows like that, where I'm like, you know, it's gonna, like, they have to, legal has to give it to the police.
Yeah. But for a moment, though, while you know you're being filmed and all the attention's on you, you feel like you're kind of outside of the law. Like, you're Steven Seagal in the moment.
Okay.
You know?
All right, I feel you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're learning. All right, next thing, you ready? Female Texas cop, I didn't get laid, so everyone's getting tickets. Shannon, tell us about it.
So this chick, she has a TikTok page where she often posts about, like, getting ready for work and stuff like that. I'm going to show you this. Hold on. I'm going to show you this thing that she posted. Here you go. So this is what she posted that she got in trouble for. It says, didn't get cracked last night, so everyone's getting a ticket. So after this, a lot of people in the community were pissed off about it. They didn't, like, she's still on active duty while they're investigating it. But there was a follow-up where she said that they did double check on it, that there were no summonses that she gave out that day, that she was just kidding.
Yeah, so, yes, obviously she was being a silly Billy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but I think when you're a cop, you lose the ability to post shit like that.
Yeah. It's also funny to me at the idea that they were like, listen, we'll leave you on active duty while we investigate as to whether or not you got dick last night.
Yeah.
it's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's... If a male cop posted, didn't get my dick sucked last night, gonna murder a black guy in the street, it would be frowned upon.
Would it be? Or would we finally get some answers? Dude, I was thinking
saying we should have started a Pussy for Chauvin campaign?
I think we should. I think we need to get to the bottom of a lot of this stuff, right? So this is another thing that Shana and I talk about a lot, because sometimes a white person is backed into a corner and they have no choice but to drop the N-bomb or to do something racist. Like if you have a bunch of black teens making fun of you, and you got to say something back. One of the superpowers of black teens is to make fun of exactly what you're doing at the moment and say it as if it's somehow an insult.
Yes.
And then you start to feel it as an insult.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So you'd be like, oh,
look at this motherfucker eating beans.
Eating beans right here. Look at this motherfucker trying to get his fiber and shit, right? So that hurts.
Yes.
What do you do? You have to drop the nuke.
Yeah, you start a podcast. You eat it for a lifetime and then start a racist podcast network.
That's also an option. You know? But I feel like we should be able to be like, Your Honor, I was bombing. I needed to do something.
Your Honor, I was eating beans.
It was like, yeah, and I slurped them. It was my fault. I should not have slurped the beans in front of these young men, but I slurped them.
It's not only that, it's that black people can make fun of you for what you're self-conscious about.
Oh, they
get you to the bone.
Yeah. My mom is a savant at that. Like, she can just look at you and just boom. And you're like, that's not even a visual thing. Like, how did you even find that? You know? Like, I had a teacher one time spread a rumor to her classes that I was in a gay relationship with my best friend who left our school and went to the private school in our area.
Okay.
And she just started that rumor, and she even implied that he had to leave that school because for whatever reason she made up. And it bothered me. Not just that I was not saying I was an ally back then, but this was back when, like, I had a gay uncle, I had gay relatives, and it was like, you're using gay as an insult? That's not, what are you saying about my gay? So I was upset about, I was offended by that. And I went to go visit my mom.
And then also, wearing a faggot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I gotcha. There's two, both things can exist.
Yeah, yeah. And so I went to go visit my mom, and she was trying to tell me to do something. I didn't live with my mom at the time. And I was, you know, telling her, like, you're not the boss of me. We live 45 minutes away from each other. And for the first time ever, she was like, you look gay right now.
Ooh.
And, dude, it wasn't even like the way she, like, you look gay right now. And it was just like, wait, why is she saying? And I couldn't even think about, it was like, it was all about, like, why is she saying that? Who has she been talking to? Like, how did that information get back to her? And it broke me. And it was the first, it was probably the one of two times that my mom saying awful shit to me got me. Because, like, since I was a little kid and I knew that's how she was, I would always not let it show at all that what she was saying was affecting me. She got me twice.
I got to know the other one now.
Dude, it was a very, my mom thinks that she was getting racially profiled at a store. It wasn't an outlet store, but it was in an outlet shopping center.
Okay.
But this was the actual store. It was the actual polo store. So when you go into this store, the people that make commission, they ask you if they can start a dressing room for you and all this other stuff. My mom went in there with a bunch of bags, so they thought she was spending money, asked her to start a dressing room, and kind of like eyed her up until she left. She comes back to me and she's talking to me and my wife, and she's telling us how racist that was. And I'm like, I just worked in a commission job. I was like, Mom, they're trying to make money. You went in there with a bunch of bags. They're like, you're spending money. They probably thought they were going to get some commission off of you. And she was just, she looks at me and she goes, you fucking faggot.
Yo, goddamn. Right?
But, and then she looks at me and says, you fucking faggot. And then she goes, you're a faggot. And then she looked, and then now she looks at my wife because she's not getting a reaction from me. Mm-hmm. So now she starts calling me a faggot while only looking at my wife, which she's not used to this shit. She's squirming. And then that's what got me. The fact that, like, she took it away from me and targeted it at her because she knew she would get her.
That's fucking diabolical.
She is the best. Like, as far as, like, breaking a person's psyche down, the best.
I really thought she was going to look at your wife and call her an N-lover.
She might have. I would not be shocked.
That's brutal. My mom did it in a way, and I don't think she really meant to be mean, but she would say, it would be like, Zachary, if you leave the house like that, people are going to think you're a gay person.
Mm.
Zachary, you come off like a gay person sometimes.
Yeah.
Or Zachary, if you're gay, tell me now.
Yeah.
Rip off the Band-Aid.
So here's what's annoying about that with moms, because they have a son that they want to raise. They want to raise these boys to be like sweet, compassionate young boys. And then when they succeed in that, they think they created a fagster.
Yeah.
And now they just keep accusing you of being gay. Because
I mean, she was half right.
Well,
she was. There's a little difference there. Or like, oh, dude, I remember one time I used the word outfit.
Mm.
I was like, oh, this is a good outfit. Zachary, don't let your father ever hear it. You say outfit. I went, why? She goes, he's going to tell me I'm making you gay again.
Yeah.
Which was her way of saying your father thinks you're gay.
Yeah, you're either gay or a 56-year-old black uncle.
Yeah.
Those are the only people that use the word outfit.
And then my other dude, the one that fucking haunts me this day, I just told my wife about this one. When I started working out hard at junior, senior year of high school, I was doing doubles. So I would get up, run to my coach's house at like 6 in the morning, and he would make me run the hill up and down in front of his house, and he would sit and have his coffee.
Yeah.
And if we weren't on that hill by, like, whatever, 6:30, he started calling the house.
Yeah.
Like, screaming, right? And then after school, we would go to his house and lift.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just starting to be where, like, I was really noticing a difference.
Yeah.
And it was the first time in my life I ever had, and forgive my ignorance, like the big, like traps.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. And I just, I wasn't in shape by any means, but I was just starting to get trapped. And I remember my coach being like, you're really making big differences. And I remember being home and I'm like going in the shower and I'm like, yeah, I feel really good. So I started weightlifting. And I was like, and I showed my, I flexed and I was like, see, Coach and I, like, I'm getting my traps in. And my mother goes, Zachary, never do that again. You look deformed. And it hurt me to, it hurts me now. Deformed is so mean. Yeah. Do you feel that? Do you feel the hairs on the back here? That's deformed.
I couldn't imagine.
From the person who formed me.
I was about to say, I couldn't imagine saying that to one of my kids.
You
that's
look crazy. Deformed. Shannon, thoughts?
Wait, I'm sorry. I was peeing.
No, don't worry about it.
Deformed.
wait, right there?
Yeah, nice.
I just ran back in. I just heard the deformed part. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was telling Sid when I started lifting weights, I showed my mom that I had, like, traps for the first time. She goes, Zachary, never do that. You look deformed. And it haunts me. Yeah. To this day, it's one of those things, like, you know when you're in a bad mood in the morning and you're just going over things that people have said that upset you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just, I'll be, like, going about my morning and just in my head, deformed.
Yeah.
I think that means that you were nailing it because there was a noticeable difference.
She didn't say reformed.
Yeah, yeah.
Deformed has a very specific connotation. Yeah. My mom just, like, she just loves. She's a hater.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is a classic hater.
Yeah, yeah.
And she makes no bones about it. Like, she loves
it. I feel like your mom always has a toothpick.
She has that attitude. She doesn't, but she does.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I remember, when I first started lifting weights and getting, I'm starting to, like, lift weights. I'm getting a little bit of attention from my athleticism in there. And I had my shirt off and I walked past my mom. And dude, it was like one of those days. I just knew I was just jacked looking as fuck. Like, I'm like 15, 16 years old, walked past my mom with my shirt off. Cause my mom was, you know, an athletic star. You know, and
yeah, which wasn't easy because you had to walk 45 minutes without that shirt on to be in front of her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she was an athletic star in high school, but she only did 1 year of high school. She dropped out after her big year, you know. So I'm walking.
Leave him wanting more. I get it.
Yeah, leave him more. Walk past her, and she goes, still ain't getting no bitches, though.
Oh, fuck.
It was like the craziest part about it is, so that got me, but it made me laugh because it got me.
Yes.
And it also, I had just got off the phone with a chick that I had a crush on that was trying to put me in a friend zone and crush some push-ups, walk past my mom, who had no idea that I was on the phone trying to seal the deal with a chick that didn't want it.
Yep.
And she just, still don't get no bitches though. And it was just like, holy fuck. This lady.
Your mom has what I can only call a burple aura, like a blue purple. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yes. So and this would be the last one. So she tried.
Oh, no, please. I'm loving this.
Yeah, this could be the whole, I could do this all day. So she tried to get me one time. And so this is how I know for a fact that she is deliberately trying to get under the skin of people. So I'm talking to her on the phone, and this is like, we're talking about politics stuff, and I don't hate Trump, and she hates Trump. So if you don't hate Trump to a person that hates Trump, you're a Trump lover.
Yep. Right? Oh, I'm well aware.
And I'm
trying, I live in my house.
Do you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to explain to her, like, I don't love him. I don't hate him. He's hilarious. And some of the stuff he's doing might actually be better for the country. He's shaking things up. He's mixing things up. And she goes, you've been hanging out with them white people too long. And then I said, Mom, I don't even know if that makes sense. And she goes, huh. Yeah, you're right. I just heard somebody get mad because they said that to them on the Breakfast Club. Like, you're workshopping bits on me now?
She's putting a pin in something.
She hears something
that's insulting to someone else and puts a pin in it. I'm going to use that on my son later.
My son. my eldest son. Yeah, for sure. That's my mom in a nutshell.
Now, in all fairness, you put your family through hell, too. You set the couch on fire.
No, I set the house on fire.
You set the house on fire.
Yeah.
So there is, so it's not 100%.
But I was young at that and understand my mom was constantly complaining that things weren't lit enough around the house.
That's fair. You know? Now, do you mean visually, or that there wasn't enough fun happening?
Yeah, so actually what was happening is my mom, every Thursday, my mom would leave until Sunday because she was trying to get lit.
Okay.
And I was like, well, why don't I do this to keep her home?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Mom, home is now lit.
Yeah.
Just stay home.
Your mom's at a club at 2 in the morning. The roof is on fire. And you're like, I can make the roof on fire at my house.
The crazy part about
that. Will mommy
that,
stay if our roof is on fire?
Yeah. We don't need no. Dude, that was like, that ended every party back then.
We don't need no father.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
What is the, and maybe I'm asking the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
What is the song that you play for black people to tell them it's time to go?
Oh, well, the closing, but my favorite.
The closing time.
Yeah.
For black people.
My favorite time period was when the closing song was This Is How You Do It by Montel Jordan.
Okay.
There was two times it got played. It was the middle John, like the peak, and then the close it out. Like this is the vibe that people are leaving with.
Okay,
right. So that's what I remember. I'm like I'm a '90s human, and I hold that dear to my heart. I don't even think I registered any other closing songs. I know there was a Lil Wayne song in college that was big.
Okay,
yeah, but that's all I can tell you.
I know for a long time it was closing time. I've heard people play, I don't know if it's Richard Cheese, but it's called Get the Fuck Out.
Yeah.
Shannon, what would your bars play when it was time to get people to leave?
I've had sometimes, keep in mind that the last bar I worked in, it was like an event center.
Mm-hmm.
So they would do I've Had the Time of My Life.
Okay.
Mm. I've heard that and then a lot of closing time.
Yeah. Shannon, can you look up what are the most popular songs to play to get people to leave?
I did. A lot of them don't make sense. So there's also Don't Stop Believin'.
Okay. Yes.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
So in college, it was Sweet Caroline.
That's listed here too.
Yeah.
Living on a Prayer, We Are the Champions.
Oh, we did that in college too.
Mm-hmm.
Other notable choices, I Will Survive, Save the Last Dance for Me. I've also heard that one.
Mm.
Piano Man, Billy Joel, New York, New York, Frank Sinatra.
That one makes sense to
me. Yeah, here in this area.
Friends in Low Places, Garth Brooks.
Okay.
And Uptown Funk, Bruno Mars.
Wait, and that was The Devil Went Down to Georgia. What song am I saying? The Devil Went Down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal.
Yeah, The Devil Went Down to Georgia. Yeah, yeah. Charlie Daniels.
So that was, there was one frat that I would go to every now and again, but I would only go to at the end of the night because that was their closing song.
Okay.
And I just thought the vibe was fun. It was like the closing songs in college were like, people would sing them.
Yeah.
You know, they were ballads. And that frat, they were like the nerdy anime-ish frat, like for that campus anyway. And I would go there at closing time and rock out with them.
I was with Faga. We were at a real shitty bar in the neighborhood I live in. And I mean, this is a white trash fucking spot. Like,
yeah,
my wife won't go in because she's recognized people from high school standing outside of it.
Mm.
And it's a couple blocks from the house. And me and Faker are there. And it's me and him on one side and like five drunk white ladies on the other side. And that's it. The bar is dead.
Yeah.
And the bartender is like this cute, chubby, tattooed girl. Comes right over to me. Kid's still got it, you know?
Yeah.
And we're talking. And she goes, do you want me to put any song on? And I look at Faker. I go, you want to make friends with everybody at the end of the bar? He goes, yeah. I went, put on a You Never Even Called Me By My Name by David Allan Coe. And he goes, okay. And the lady goes, okay. And Chris is like, what the fuck is that? I was like, that's what we're about to make friends at the other end of the bar. I go, watch this. And the song comes out, and there's like a call and response part.
Yeah.
Where all the girls are supposed to go, let me. They all did it.
Yeah.
And they looked over at me and I was doing it. Dude, immediate, where are you guys from?
Holy shit.
Dude, I was the white trash fucking beacon call.
Yeah. You're like the Pied Piper of white trash.
Yeah. Are you familiar with David Allan Coe?
No, I'm not.
Allan Coe is, he's referenced a lot as like outlaw country.
Okay.
He has an album that is called X-Rated Hits.
Yeah.
And he has a few songs that, So David Allan Coe is the reason every time I listen to country music, my wife goes, is this the racist one?
Mm.
Because, so one of his famous songs is called If That Ain't Country. And there's a line in it. And I actually don't think, of all the times a white guy has dropped the N-word in a song.
Yeah.
I actually think this is not a mean one.
Okay.
Because he's talking about how hard he had growing it up, how hard he had it growing up. And it's working like an N for my room and board.
Okay. So what, showing up late, not doing his job?
So that's
on his cell phone the whole entire shift.
But so then X-Rated Hits is his Dirty album.
Okay.
And hey Shannon, could you bring up David Allan Coe? I believe N Lover. I can't remember the real name of the song is.
Wait, is it Neanderthal?
No. But yeah, it's like a bunch of songs about like finger fucking and doing coke. And I'm pretty sure his drummer is black on this album,
yeah,
which makes it funnier. But I would love to watch you in real time respond to this song. We can always cut this out of the regular version.
Hold on, I'm having a hard time making it come up.
Did you try YouTube?
Yeah, I started on YouTube. It just like that on its own isn't coming up. I have one called Drunk, D-R-U-N-K.
No.
This one says the word N Lover, but it's a playlist of several other songs. And the whole word is there. You Never Even Called Me By My Name.
Yeah, that's the like classic.
I Hate Love.
Just go to David Allan Coe X-Rated Hits and it'll be the first song.
By the way, I feel like finger banging gets a bad rap. It's making a comeback, it seems like.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
I'm fine with it. I'm into it.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty creative and fun.
I do. I think it really shows who you are sexually.
Yeah.
You know, it's like your signature.
I like that. It's your John Hancock.
Yeah. Your fingers are your John Hancock.
Any luck, Shannon?
Yes. As long as it's going to play that one first, I think it's...
Oh, yep. That's it. Oh, trust me.
N Fucker is the name of it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to play it. Might have to cut this whole chunk out.
Oh, I'm fine with that. Listen to the live... pause. She said someday hey, guys. If you want to see the uncensored version of this episode, go to gasdigital.com. In fact, it's a great time to do plugs, Sid.
Oh, absolutely.
So go to gasdigital.com. Use the promo code ZOO. And you get access to episodes early, ad-free, and uncensored, as well as the archives, the live chat, and you save a little bit of money a month. Also, if you want to see me live this weekend, I'm going to be in Saratoga Springs, New York, with my good friend Alex Tomaselli. Then we've got the Gathering of the Juggalos, and then August 28th, Nashville, 29th, Pulaski, August 30th, Miamisburg, Ohio, August 31st, Lexington, Kentucky. And thank you so much for supporting the show. If you use that promo code ZOO, you also get access to our bonus episode on Fridays. The only way to listen is to sign up for Gas Digital. Sid, where can people find you, my friend?
All right. Well, first of all, on social media, at Sidney Gant, at SIDNEYGANTT. That one more time. SIDNEYGANTT. Also, check out my podcast, World War Fun, that I do with Ryan Shaner, who is probably one of the funniest people on earth. And I will say, people are saying that it's the funniest new podcast out there right now.
I heard it, and I believe it.
Dude, we're having a good time. We just, one theme, the whole entire episode, every tangent, we go nuts. It's fun. Check it out. Like,
awesome. Thank you, guys. Please support Sid. And once again, if you want to hear the uncensored version of this, Gas Digital. Hey, Shannon, play the N-word song.
She said someday I'd understand love was all about.
Wait, can we pause real quick? I'm sorry. Dude, it's crazy that I'm doing a real-time response to the N-word country song while looking at a gorilla on the table. This is crazy.
Not intentional.
This is so crazy. All right, let's go.
Go ahead.
I could have the kids. She was moving out.
said she'd finally found a man whose dick was so much bigger.
Here it comes.
And then that scumbag motherfucker ran off with a nigger. And to think I ate the pussy where that big black dick had been, and kissed the lips, sucked him off time and time again. It's enough to make a man throw up. Sure is hard to figure how any decent girl could ever fuck a breezy nigger.
Pause real quick. My friend in college, we were in a band together, my friend Kyle, very, very black.
Yeah.
And we used to practice, our band practice space was in Patterson.
Yeah.
And he had child safety locks on the car. So we were driving through Patterson, we would drive through the hood, and he would open my window. He had tinted windows in the car.
Yeah.
Put that song on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And roll up all the other windows and safety lock me.
Yeah, you were going to get pulled out of that car.
Yeah, and he used to just stop.
Yeah,
it's crazy. And blast it. And I'd be like, please stop, please.
Yeah.
Keep it going, Shannon.
Yeah.
He treated her just like a queen. She gave him all my money. It looks like jokes on me, but I don't think it's funny. Pussy ain't worth paying for, as far as I can figure.
Nope, here it comes.
Cause there's nothing quite as worthless as a white girl with a nigger. And to think I'd ate the pussy.
It's a good thing you left your wife and kids upstairs.
You know what I mean?
And kiss the lips, sucked him off time and time again. It's enough to make a man throw up. Sure is hard to figure.
He really ran out of rhymes.
Yeah.
Any decent girl could ever fuck a goddamn nigger. So for all you nigger loving whores, this song is just for you.
And then he just kind of ends it. And yeah, he had a stat. I've seen him do that live
mm-hmm.
in the last few years.
Wow.
And I want to say it was like Sturgis or something.
Here's the deal though, man. If did it happen? Right? If he actually had a chick that was banged by a big dick black guy,
yes.
He was then backed into a corner.
Yeah.
Like that big black dick cornered him.
Yeah, and he had a strike.
He had to do something.
Yeah, it's like when you put a snake in a corner.
What is he going to do? Just take that loss for the rest of his life to the
grave?
And
if you see him, you go, oh, yeah, that's it. Can you look, say what he looks like? When you see him, you're like, oh, yeah, that's who wrote that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not defending him.
No, of course not.
And I'm not defending greasy nigger music, period.
Uh-huh.
But you oh yeah. Yeah. Dude, he has the beard that your wife gave you.
Yeah, yes, exactly. She's preparing me for my career.
She braided your beard with a fart.
But yeah, I've seen video of him go into that like live.
Yeah.
And everyone go like it's that and Dr. Dirty John Valby, who's like a piano comic.
Okay.
He does instead of Leroy the bit, never mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Leroy
yeah.
the big lip.
Okay.
And it's and the whole crowd sings it, but he does it in like shit bars.
Yeah.
And you'll just see some like black waitress be like, "What the fuck is happening?"
Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. Because you don't.
Well,
know.
What Dr. Dirty does now is he does the verse and then he goes, "But we got to get everybody." So then he does like. Five more verses.
Yeah.
But none of them are as biting as the black one.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like he does an Italian one, a Polish one, an Arab one.
Yeah.
A Jew one, but we know which one you wrote first, Dr. Dirty.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We know which one you wrote first.
Yeah. That's it's crazy to realize that we're all living in America together. We're all a society, right? And we all know some stuff about each other, like black people, white people, all the different ethnicities and stuff. But the one thing that keeps us all on our toes is we don't know what really incites the other people, right? So if you're the only black waitress in there and you have a bunch of white people, you know, hooting and hollering.
Yelling the N-word like it's Sweet Caroline.
Right? You don't know what that's going to mean for you.
Yes.
Right? Because it's like, on one hand, they could all, you know, like jump you, right? But on the other hand, they could like put you in a chair and like lift you up like you just had a bar mitzvah. You know what I mean? They could like, you could be the king, the queen of the night. You don't know what it's going to mean.
Yes. I could see how it's a precarious situation.
Yes.
Without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wear a lot of David Allan Coe shit. Sometimes people think I'm dog whistling racism. But in reality, I just happen to like this man who has a few questionable lyrics.
Yeah, I think enjoying life is dog whistling racism.
I'll take it.
Thank you.
And we're going to call it there. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please support Dave Temple, even though he's not here. He's a sweet man, and we love No Need for Apologies. And more importantly, support Sidney Gantt. Please listen to World War Fun with him and Ryan Shaner. Two of the funniest guys out there and great friends, and I love them very much. Thank you so much, man, and enjoy the rest of the day with your beautiful family.
Thank you so much.
The fun's begun, no sleeping in. Noon is morning time to him. Pop a bagel, jug it down, just like your favorite Obese clown. Grab a coffee and join the crew.